You're listening
to the Libertarian
Atheist Podcast.
On November 25th, 2016, totalitarian dictator Fidel Castro took his final breath. Having lived through 638 assassination attempts, he managed to live until 90 years old as one of the longest-lived tyrants in history. Attempts to kill Castro began after the 1959 revolution, which led to his reign of terror. U.S.-backed Cuban exiles were sent to overthrow and kill Fidel, Raul Castro, his brother, and Che Guevara during the moronic Bay of Pigs flummox. Attempts, of course, continued. And on the day that President Kennedy was assassinated, the agent who had been given a pen syringe in Paris was sent to kill Castro. He failed, just as many others soon would. From underwater, painted shells stuffed with explosives, to sexy sirens armed with poison tea and exploding cigars, no one could kill the bastard. The last assassination attempt was in 2000 while Castro was in Panama. 200 pounds of high-powered explosives were placed under his lectern prior to his speech. Castro's security team found them, and the four conspirators were placed in prison. The reasons for these assassination attempts were obvious, and are obvious, considering the CIA's mixed relationship with Latin communist despots. Whether democratically elected or not, Guatemala, Brazil, Chile, and the Dominican Republic have had their leaders removed or executed due to the CIA's bidding. Fidel's death wasn't much of a shock to really anyone, or at least anyone who has ever been a 90-year-old person, for Christ's sakes. He resigned in 2008 to his brother, Raul, due to illness. Since then, trade has opened up in part due to Obama's reduction in trade restrictions within the country. Yet Fidel's presence was felt throughout the country, even when his grip waned. Nevertheless, the world is better with him dead. Fidel was a bastard. But that won't prevent political figures, of course, urged to obscure Fidel's crimes against humanity. Jeremy Corbyn, UK's Labour Party leader, said that Castro was a champion of social justice. This must be news to the tens of thousands of homosexuals, artists, musicians, and exploited workers who've been tossed in chains for their degenerate nature. This callous ignoring of facts is a keystone for the Labour Party. They use homosexuals and minorities as props for their socialist goals. The progressive insanity did not end with Mr. Corbyn, though. Never letting a good commie death go unobscured, leftist favorite boy toy Justin Trudeau called Castro a remarkable leader who served his people for almost half a century as the country's longest-serving president. The prime minister, of course, failed to recognize that he was their longest-serving president because there weren't any free elections. But just how bad was Castro? Castro's revolution, with the help of Che Guevara, was more of a terror campaign than a fight for equality. His revolution led to the murder of thousands, the enslavement of tens of thousands, and drove 1.5 million Cubans to flee to the United States. The propaganda campaign for Castro's ally, Che, has afforded asinine American hipsters to adorn the bearded man on everything from t-shirts to posters free from judgment. But a cursory glance at Che Guevara's writing casts a darker shadow on the hipster hero. Quote, "Crazy with fury, I will stain my rifle red with slaughtering any enemy that falls in my hands. My nostrils dilate while savoring the acrid odor of gunpowder and blood. With the deaths of my enemies, I prepare my being for the sacred fight and enjoy the triumphant proletariat with a bestial howl." Unquote. Che Guevara. Che and Castro's enemies included innocent men, women, and children. If you weren't murdered, you were placed in camps. Che set up the first forced labor camp in 1960. This camp was the precursor to the eventual systematic confinement, starting in 1965 in the province of Camagüey, of dissidents, homosexuals, AIDS victims, Catholics, Afro-Cuban priests, and other such scum under the banner of military units to help production. Herded into buses and trucks, the unfit would be transported at gunpoint to concentration camps. Some would never return. Others would be raped, beaten, mutilated. And of course, all would be traumatized for life. Charlie Bravo, a Cuban exile, expounded upon the contradictory virtues that leftists propagate when they speak kindly of the psychopathic compatriot of Fidel Castro. I'd love to have seen those Berkeley and Berlin student protesters with their groovy Che posters try their anti-authority grandstanding in Cuba at the time. I'd love to have seen Che and his goons get their hands on them. They'd have gotten a quick lesson about the fascism they were constantly complaining about, and firsthand. They would have quickly found themselves sweating and gasping from forced labor in Castro's and Che's concentration camps, or jabbed in the butt by groovy bayonets when they dared slow down and perhaps getting their teeth shattered by a groovy machine gun butt if they adopted the same attitude in front of Che's militias as they adopted in front of those campus cops. Of course, Che died young. His image remained static and frozen in amber. Unbroken and forever young, his legacy was never tarnished by decades of tyrannical rule. The same cannot be said for Fidel. Castro's long life allowed for enough time to bring Cuba into a new prosperity. He failed on every level. Before the Fidel takeover, Cuba was one of the richest countries in the Americas. By the 1980s, it was already among the poorest. Whereas the Caribbean region's per capita GDP doubled between 1958 and late 2000s, Cuba grew by under 6%. Haiti, a country ruined by multiple natural disasters and Hillary Clinton, was the only Caribbean country which did worse. It wasn't without subsidization either. The Soviet Union alone provided Cuba with $62 billion in the course of 40 years. And in the 2000s, Venezuela, China, Spain, and Cuban Americans essentially picked up the tab. Though communist sympathizers romanticized Castro's educational system, what good is an education when there's nothing you can do with it? Stagnant technological progress, no choice of employment, and imprisonment for thought crimes were the fallout of Fidel's fantastic Marxist educational system. Fidel maintained his reign through Orwellian mechanisms, exemplified by the Committees for the Defense of the Revolutions, CDRs. The CDRs were meant to be volunteer-run neighborhood watch groups set up to address local issues. In actuality, they were the embodiment of horizontal violence. Who needs large groups of expensive government-paid soldiers when you have over 100,000 ready and willing snitches? Your duty, as a volunteer spy, was to tell the government any wrongdoing that you witnessed. From buying things on the black market, to being a homosexual, or speaking ill of the government. You were rewarded with small gifts from the state, including less work hours, consumer goods, and of course, promotions. Fidel's power lied in his ability to withstand rebellion and economic hardships using coercion and manipulation. When civil hostility would arise, Fidel would drain the rebellious swamp by exiling hordes of Cubans and flooding them into Western countries. This amounted to over 1.5 million Cuban refugees. When the Soviet system fell and their dollars no longer reached Cuban shores, Fidel made peace with Catholics in order to garner their resources, a strong contrast to his prior relationship with the Catholic Church, which involved murdering nuns and priests. The late 1990s looked promising for Cuba, with the decriminalizing of foreign private investment and the promotion of tourism. The optimism was very short-lived. The Valera Project, a campaign which promoted constitutional reforms, was repressed in 2003 and led to 75 pro-democratic advocates thrown in jail for 20 years after one-day trials. Every single positive step that was made with two steps backward. Conservatism and communism were one and the same during Fidel's reign. From beginning to end, Castro's actions ensured that progress would remain stagnant by crushing human ingenuity and maintaining the status quo. The free flow of thoughts, ideas, and goods is antithetical to the coercive social order that communists strive for. The revolutionary and rebellious propaganda espoused by Castro and all the other leftists who love wearing Che Guevara fucking t-shirts are nothing more than romanticized conservative orthodoxy that is in opposition to the proliferation and success of the human species. Castro's death is a positive for humanity, and it's a goddamn shame that it didn't happen earlier.